Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the shift. Are you coming for the shift with us?
Yeah. Welcome back to the shift. Stairs here. Back in Dolphin's barn. Katie's back in New York. And we got a fun episode coming up for you. Since I talked to you last, I've been to New York and back. And myself and Katie got to record a lot of episodes. We've got some great stuff coming up for you over the next while. This ep, True to Our Word, is a review of the two sex toys that Shauna from our last episode, sexshopper.ie, gave us to review. Katie reviewing her first ever vibrator, and me reviewing the spinner that we mentioned on the last episode. So we start with that review, which we recorded in a car. I was dropping Shauna. I was dropping Katie home to her place in Brooklyn, so you'll be aware that it's the sound of car that you're hearing, and a subway overhead, because we're driving under the J train in Brooklyn. And then we have a great chat with Cullum Terrell, who's an Irish comic based in New York, and I just thought it'd be great to have a guy on. We haven't had a guy yet, so I thought that'd be nice to change it up, and he was good fun, so enjoy that. And then, man, we have so much else coming up. I mean, I could have put all this stuff together and had like a two-hour episode, because we've tons of feedback about our listeners' stories about sex toys, but we'll save that for the next ep. And anyway, I'll talk to you after the episode. So for now, here's a review of the sex toys that Shauna gave us last week, and then a great chat with Cullum Terrell. Okay.
Okay. So, I'm Des Bishop. That's my impression of you.
Do it like just as if the music is just finished, you know.
I'm welcome Des.
No, come on.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry.
Welcome to the shift. Yeah. No, okay, come in.
Hi, welcome to the
shift. No, no.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you were going to do me.
Oh, wait, sorry. Okay. Hi, I'm Des Bishop.
No, yeah.
I have a sexy voice. Making all the ladies wet. Oh, sorry, that was so inappropriate.
It's fine. No problem with the wetness.
Sex podcast.
So, we're actually driving down Broadway, but not the Broadway that people have in their heads. It's a Broadway in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Underneath the J train.
Respect.
I'm driving Katie home after she had a spot in New York Comedy Club. I had a spot in the Comedy Cellar. And I'm leaving soon. And we've been doing a hell of a lot of recording.
We have. Oh my gosh. I've never talked so much in my life, and I'm a talker, so yeah.
Can you handle it?
I can handle it. I'm a little tired though.
This is the podcasting life.
Yeah. I'm like saving all my talking now just for podcasts, and my social life is just gonna go to shit.
When you're having a conversation with somebody, you're like, you know what? This is too good. I can't waste it on this. I can't waste it on this unrecorded moment in my life.
Well, so we did the podcast yesterday and today, and then when I went to New York Comedy Club, I had to go sit in the corner for a second and not talk to people, which is very not like me, but I was just like, I guess I can have a conversation.
It's just, well, like, you know, you've been, it's more than just the talking. I mean,
Let's just, even though it'll probably screw up the chronological myth of our podcast, just to explain to people the amount of time that has passed. Thursday night, Katie flew to Ireland. Friday morning, she arrived. She did Friday and Saturday night in Vicar Street. We recorded the episode with Shauna on Saturday afternoon. And then Saturday night, obviously, she did the show. Sunday afternoon, she flew back to New York. And today is Tuesday night.
Yeah, and we did the podcast. We went up upstate New York on Monday, and then we did the podcast today. And we did two episodes today, and now we're doing technically a third episode.
Yeah, so there's been a lot going on.
A lot.
You know, I don't like to ruin the magic of the podcast. But weirdly, what you're hearing is immediately after the Shauna episode. So to you guys, nothing has happened in the meantime. Yeah. So I hope we haven't ruined it for you. But this particular section is very important because this is when we review the two sex toys that Shauna gave to us.
And we also had to wait to do it. We had to wait for the review till I actually used the sex toy. I guess I was a little bit more slow to the...
Well, yeah, I mean, I used it that night, actually.
Did you? Well, I was at my cousin's. Then I came home from America and I had a man, so I didn't need to do it. And then it was the next day, yeah, so...
But it wasn't a case of needing, it was a case of having to do.
Oh, yeah, finding the time to squish
well,
in that private
time. Well, this was a chore.
Time. Yeah, it was.
Well,
it
this
was.
Was a... this was a... No, I mean, like, this was an assignment.
Yeah, like... and
this wasn't a case of needing.
Do you know, like, so I did it this morning. I forgot about... I kind of just forgot as well, and then Des...
I had to remind you, like, three
Des
times.
Des... play with... Eddie,
you need to... You need to play with this.
Katie, we need to get this done. Will you use that thing?
Well, because I wanted to talk about it together before I left.
No, I didn't know. And then I was like, fuck. So anyway, I went into my bag. I took it out. And sure, the battery had gone. I guess I must have had it on in my bag or something. And then I had to charge it up. And my roommates were home because they don't work during the day. And so I put on my the heater in my room so that would drown out the noise. So then it got very hot in my room.
Just for future reference, you can put on white noise on your phone.
Oh, wow. You see, I didn't even know that. Because I didn't want to put on music because I didn't want to wake them up. I didn't want it to be too loud. And I knew we needed to get this done. And then I had put down a towel and everything on my bed. It was very
put
clinical.
Down a towel?
Yeah, yeah.
Why, did you think you were going to squirt?
Well, I knew I'd probably come a little. And I was like, what if I did squirt? And then secondly, I just put those sheets on and I couldn't be arsed getting new clean sheets.
Oh, you know, I have a whole routine about Irish ladies and the clean sheets.
Oh, it's lovely. You know, I just wanted to be ruined by, you know, even if it was only a little bit of cum. I got really turned off a man once, an older man, who I went over to his house a few times, and then there was a hole in the sheet each time. And then I was like, look, would you not kind of just change your sheets? And he was like, these are the only sheets I own.
Really?
I can't be with you.
No.
Can't. I was like, there's a bloody... there was a sheet store just a couple of blocks down, and like one of those cheap ones that has everything, you know, like Home Improvement, I don't know. But I will say this, so we got the sex toys. I couldn't believe there was she'd brought a man toy, so that was great. It looked fun. But mine, when I brought it, I had to bring it back to America, and my bag's going through, what's it called, TSA? They took my bag to look through it. There was something in it, and I fucking...
Oh, in Dublin?
I fucking had a heart attack, I thought.
When you were in Dublin, but you were at the American...
Dublin, I'm going through... This is before the pre-clearance in America. This is actually... in the very first TSA, you know, you've said goodbye to your family, it's emotional, then you walk through.
No, you just mean, yeah, through security. Like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because TSA is American, you know.
Oh, sorry, through security, because I also had to go through the USA one, but anyway, the first one in Dublin, my bag stopped, it was the only one that stopped, and then they took my stuff out, and then they went through my jacket, and I thought, oh my God, they're going to go into my bag, they're going to go into my bag, and it's the vibrator, that's what it is. And then I was like, crap, I can't be ashamed. I host a sex podcast. I'm going to have to own up to it and be like, yes, I'm going to use that later. But thankfully, do you know...
It wasn't the vibrator.
It was actually something in my jacket. So then they didn't end up going into my bag. Thank God. So, then my bag got searched then as well through the pre-clearance. But again, it didn't. So there was two false... vibrating false alarms.
But you think actually somehow your vibrator was on the whole time?
I think it was on because Sean had pressed it on and it worked. And then when I came back this end, the battery was gone. So then I had to charge it up. I was all committed. I was all ready. Had my underwear off and everything ready to go. And then the battery wasn't working. So I had to plug it in and go make a cup of tea. Come back, try and think of something that turns me on. And back to it.
All right, yeah. That's why you really need to introduce porn in your life. Because it doesn't require you to use your brain. But anyway, let's not get distracted. Mm-hmm. That's my fault. I apologize.
And so you...
So you need to do a review.
I'll do a review. Okay, right.
And be honest.
Okay. Well, it was so nice to get it. But I think... So I got this little rabbit ears... And it's quite gentle on my clit that I didn't actually realise. I guess when I use my hand, I'm actually quite forceful. So it helped for stimulating it, getting it quicker, because my hand hurts sometimes. My hand gets tired. So it actually helped with that, but I wasn't going to come from it super hard. Like, I used it for a little bit and then my hand, and I was like, oh, this is great. But yeah, I think I would need something a bit harder, actually, which is good to learn, I guess.
Yeah, it's good to learn. I mean, I think she brought you something quite gentle because, it was your first sex toy experience.
Yeah, but I guess because I haven't been using sex toys, I've built up a good muscle there in my arm.
Well, no, I mean, I think
she had said
that,
different great.
People like different amounts of vibration / sensation, right?
Yeah, and I think there is a way to make it go faster, and I was trying that. So again, I think I'm happy with it, and I will continue to use it as a pre so that my arm won't be as tired or cramp up. And, maybe I'll figure out a place to put it. But yeah, I used it for quite some time this morning, so.
That's the Subway, in case anybody's listening.
Subway is heckling me.
The Subway is getting involved in Katie's.
It's like,
sex
ooh,
toy
do you like
review.
The noise of this now? Do you get turned on by these?
Now let me ask you this: Was there an element of excitement of just I'm using a sex toy?
Absolutely. Actually, to be honest, I felt a bit guilty for a second, which is funny. I can't believe that came over me.
Oh, you felt guilty about using it?
I did, which is, I guess, I again probably comes back to what I heard about sex toys when I was younger. But yeah, I felt
there's a seediness to them.
I felt like a little low for a second, like a little sadness, but then I got over that pretty quickly once I put it on my clit and I was like, this is fun.
What's your favorite left to take off of Broadway?
Oh, I've no idea. I always just go wherever they're bringing me.
Oh, so you don't actually know how to get home?
No.
You live on Madison Street, so I gave away your street there, but that's not really much.
If you want to kill me.
But I guess I'll take a turn on your street.
Yeah.
I guess if I was going to pick a street, I'd pick your street to turn on, you know?
I thought you were going, what's your favorite left? And I thought you were talking about, like, when you're, like, touching yourself. And I was like, well, I do like it to the left, actually.
So before I give my review of my sex toy. We're in Bushwick, everybody, just in case you're wondering. Katie's super cool. She's living in the eastern end of Bushwick.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I am cool.
Yeah, she's just way cooler than me. I live in the Lower East Side, which was cool about 15 years ago, you know? So we're outside Katie's now. Anyway, I'm giving the review of this Japanese company's product. Sadly, I can't remember the name, but... People that listened to the previous episode will know the name of the thing. It was a masturbation sleeve, as Shauna said. And, we have a video of it, so I don't know if people saw the video, but it's kind of like, what do we say? It was like the water snake.
Yeah.
You know, that toy. And, it's made out of whatever. It's made out of kind of like a soft sensation. And you put it over your dick. And I guess it's meant to sort of give you a more intense masturbation experience. Now, number one, you need a ton of lube for it. Otherwise it's actually like a little painful without like a ton of lube. So at the start I was kind of like, actually to... You need lube just to get it on you. If you don't have the lube, it gets airlocked, so you can't actually get it over your dick.
Oof.
It's not sore. It's just you can't. It just won't go over.
Oh, okay.
You know, like it just fills up with air. you know? So if anyone ever uses these masturbation sleeves, you really, you can't have enough lube. That's all I can say about that. So when I, because I had put lube on it, you know, but just not enough. Actually, what happened was there was a sachet of lube that she gave me with it, or it came with it. And I actually just kind of like squirted it into the thing, thinking like that would, you know, that once we got going, it would be full of lube. But, you know, it just wasn't enough lube. So then I had to go and source more lubricant. And anyway, when I finally figured out that I needed, you know, that there was a lot of lube necessary, it's quite an interesting sensation because once it gets on your dick, when you pull it up, these coils that are on it, which she mentioned, which is essentially like a slinky inside this thing, when you pull up, there's a certain amount of air locking that goes on, and then the sort of coils kind of like tighten around your penis. So I guess it gives it like a kind of a, you know, it gives it like a sort of tight canal sensation. But it's fine as a sensation, but you know, you stuck your finger in and you're like, oh my God, it's the inside of my vagina. Like it didn't really feel like.
Yeah, I also don't really know what the inside of my vagina feels like, so I guess that was an inaccurate.
That was an assumption.
You
made an assumption that it feels like the inside of your vagina.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was fine. I can't really say whether it's preferred to just like a normal sort of jerk off session. It's certainly why I asked you in your situation. Were you excited or was it a turn on to use it? I mean, there was an excitement to sort of like trying this out, and weirdly enough, I actually, because sort of Shauna was on the podcast and she was like so open about all these toys and that she brought this man toy, I had left it out actually on the table when I went off to Vicker Street, and I said to Aiden, I was like, if you get home before me, just so you know, there's a fake vagina on the kitchen table. That's mine, in case you're wondering. But there was kind of like a, I actually found the opposite to you in terms of the guilt thing. I actually found like a great freedom to it, which is just like, well, you know, I'm doing this because it's for the podcast and it's great. And this is just a thing that we do now. We try out sex toys. But as an experience, I left the next day. So I'm going to have to, give it another go with like more lube basically. Cause I feel like it took me too long to realize that the extra lubricant was necessary and that perhaps, perhaps I didn't give it enough of a shot.
Do you think it would feel differently for a guy who's not is circumcised?
I can't.
I wonder.
I can't speak about a thing that I've never. I don't think so, because the skin's back when you're erect anyway.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I don't think.
True.
I don't think it's really a thing. But I have to say, it's rough enough. You know, like it's stronger than I expected. Like it really grabs you. You know, like it totally grabs you. That's why I think it's really important to lube up like crazy.
So it's like and more of an investment then, though, to have to get. But do you guys use lube anyway for like jerking off?
Well, I don't, but I do. You know, guys that are circumcised can be more of a fan of the lube.
No, yeah, that's. I didn't know. Anyway, that's like, yeah, they need more lube over here.
Yeah, when you're circumcised, they tend to go more for the lube.
Yeah,
you know,
they like it to spit on your hand.
Yeah, all that. Yeah,
I
mentioned that. I don't know if you remember one of the early eps about encountering situations where American girls didn't really know what to do with like an uncircumcised penis.
Yeah,
you don't need lube in general. You don't need lube as much when you're not circumcised. But for this thing, you definitely need a ton of lube, and that has nothing to do with your foreskin or not having foreskin. It just won't work properly. It's essential. But in fairness, it comes with lube, so it's letting you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a self-lubricating fake vagina. You can't talk dirty to it and get it
get it
a little moist, you know? So
Our chat with Colm is actually happening on 6th Avenue, on the corner of Waverly Place and 6th Avenue, in my mom's car. And it was just a handy place to record. We come sort of mid-chat because we were messing around a bit at the start. We jump in mid-chat to talk to Colm about his experience of coming over here, and was there a difference with the American ladies?
So in terms of, so when you came to the States, you didn't find any difference at all?
At all?
Like you didn't find any difference between American women, Irish women?
I found the biggest difference was like the dating scene. Like it's a thing of like dating, and men and women over here in New York, they always have like multiple sort of like dating. They're dating different people, and they'll go on a date with like four or five. They're testing out the waters, you know. They cast a wide net.
Yeah, I'd
over
agree.
Here. Whereas in Ireland, yeah. It seems like if you're dating one person, like you're lucky to even get that far of even calling it dating.
Yeah,
Ireland's kind of like you just sort of end up riding each other, or sleeping with each other, or whatever, and then slowly but sure you're like, ah, sure, maybe, and then next thing you know, you're together. Whereas over here, it's all like, this is a date, we are dating, and I'm also, by the way, dating four other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, just so you know.
Yeah. Although people don't discuss it so much, but there's definitely a thing of, there's a period of time within your getting to know somebody where it's completely acceptable to go out on dates with other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They seem to always be juggling a couple of people, though, from my experience.
Do you find American women more vocal about what they want sexually compared to when you were back home in Ireland? Did you find that the women you were hooking up with on nights out like that would be like, you know, move this here and do what you want? Do you find there's a difference? I feel like I only became more vocal once I learned that off my friends over here, but it could have been just growing up as well. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I think American women would be much more like, this is what I like, or they'll definitely tell you if you're shit. I'll tell you that much.
Is that right?
Yeah, they'll be like, what is that? Do other people like that? That's not a thing. And I'm like, oh yeah, well, really, my first girlfriend 10 years ago liked it, and that's the technique I've kept ever since. So,
but do you listen to her, or do you get offended?
I listen. Yeah. No, I'm not like...
You adapt?
Yeah. Well, I'm in a steady relationship now, and I have been for a few years, but like... So I hope I'm doing it as good as I can. I hope I've peaked. Unless this is our opportunity now to go, listen, I was listening to the podcast. To be honest, you have been pretty shit now.
Yeah.
We're very much pushing for Irish women to be more like that. To say what they like.
Yeah, but I remember years ago, I started saying, like, what do you like? Like, and those Irish girls would be like, no one's ever asked me that before. Like, mm-hmm. And then they'd say some mad shit, you know? Which I thought was crazy at the time, you know? I mean, I remember a girl was like, no one's ever asked me for that before. It's like, I want you to like wrestle me and call me a slut.
Really?
Like, yeah, I swear. Yeah, yeah. I'll never forget this girl, yeah.
She wanted you to wrestle her?
Well, like, she wanted me to, like, armbar her, put her arms behind her back when going from behind, you know, so that her face was kind of, like, her arms are behind her, yeah. Handcuffed style, and then her face would be mushed, and then I kept having to call her a slut.
Wow. Really? So,
but she was like, no one's ever asked me that before. I don't even know why I became suddenly just like, hey, what do you like? Because I've got two things I can do. Don't say anything too complicated.
That's great, because if someone had asked me back in Ireland, what do you like? I wouldn't have had a fucking clue.
You know, in it. Put it in there.
But Katie, I had said that on one of the early apps, that every now and then I get surprised by an Irish girl where you discuss it and it's,
yeah,
you're shocked. You know, you they seem quite timid, and then you're shocked by what they come
the
out
Irish
with.
Girl would be like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, dress up as Zorro. And you're like, what?
No one's ever asked me before. But here's an extremely specific thing. Put my hands by my back, smush my head into the pillow, and call me a slut. I don't know where I picked that up.
Yeah.
Actually,
I'm guessing I might like this. I don't know where.
Now that we're saying it, I'm like remembering stuff, and I do actually remember boyfriend asking, is there anything you'd like to try? And I said, yeah, tie me up.
Really?
Yeah, sorry. So I forgot that I did do that. I got him to tie me up with his work tie.
Oh, right. Two hands in the...
Two hands on the bed frame, and yeah, it was fun.
All right.
But well, I've never explored more of that.
You got to have a workable bed frame. That's the problem. You need to have those bars.
Yeah, I don't even know where I had seen that as well, or where that came from. And
50 Shades?
I didn't get past chapter 8 on that, but it might have been that. I know, but I was reading the book when I was seeing him, so it could have been, you know. But
could have been that.
But when she started to irritate me and I threw her out, her what she wanted off him, I was like, I can't relate to this.
You don't like the dominant?
I didn't mind. It's not the dominant. It's just that he was being an annoying arsehole. And I was like, I wouldn't put up with him.
It's funny, you know, I've discussed tying up so many times with people, and I've never tied anybody up, and I've never been tied up. But yeah. I've also never sort of, I've never really, I'm distracted by the fact that some woman is really dealing with a lot of garbage right outside our car. It's just a very New York moment. I'm trying to discuss that I've never tied up a woman, and some fucking lunatic is like going hard at the garbage. And she doesn't look like... She doesn't look like somebody who should be at the garbage, but then you can't judge a book by its cover, you know?
No, she's taking that home.
She's one of the ladies that recycles, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, yeah, but she doesn't fit the bill. anyway, I don't want
to
make...
I know what you're alluding to there.
I don't want to make any judgments, but... Anyway, I've never done the tying up thing. I've discussed it with women before, but I've never done it. You know, that's something I really have to try. I mean, I don't have a desire to be tied up, but you liked it, did you?
Yeah, there was something like that release of, like, I trusted him, but there was that release of control where it's just like, I can just, you know, you just do what you want. And he obviously wasn't going to do anything too wild, so there was that state. That,
yeah, it's like, here, now I'm going to do exactly what I normally do, but you're not going to be able to not stop me like you normally do. you're not gonna be able to not stop me, which you never do anyway. So this is, here we go. But no, I'm kidding, of course. I can see the attraction in it, you know, but I've never done it.
Yeah, the dominance thing. But so it's very. But could you see yourself tying up a guy, Katie?
No, I think I like.
You can't have a guy who's submissive. You can't date a submissive guy. Is that sort of seems to be? You can try things out with a submissive guy, but you don't want to date someone.
I really like manly men.
Yeah, manly men. Yeah. Nothing wrong with it.
I don't want to be beaten, but I want to be like, you know, where they lift me up and push me against the wall, but not where it hurts.
And the stubble sort of grates your cheeks, but it's not.
Yeah, that
sort of stuff. Yeah, lovely, not that. Stubble. I mean, I've never thought about a guy like that, but that is the type of guy I'd go for if I was to swing that way. Yeah,
nice.
But you're rugged, man. You seem to be quite familiar with the old submissive and dominant and stuff like that. Is that something that floats your boat?
Yeah, I'd be a rough lover, I suppose, would be a polite way of saying it. Like, just sort of, not like crazy, but like, I'm definitely more take control and things like that. Not so much with my girlfriend at the moment. I find it hard to sort of rough up my girlfriend because I love her. But, you know, if it was just a random girl at the bar, oh, she'd get a good ride.
Oh, Jesus.
But like...
You know what I mean?
What if that wasn't her bag, though?
Wasn't her bag?
Oh, like, what if she said, like, yo, I'm just not into the rough?
Oh, well, then I'd stop, Des.
Really?
Would I stop roughing up a girl if she asked me not to rough her up?
Well,
are you asking me? No, yeah, no, I would.
No, call me a gentleman. The sex he's asking, would you
no,
switch it up?
No, 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 no. Is that what you meant? Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'd just ask me if I'd just do as I please. No, I wouldn't stop the sex. No, no, no.
But you'd just back off, but it wouldn't be your thing as much, is that right?
Yeah. And then I've had girls, like, I like a bit of choking, but nothing crazy. Oh, I wouldn't.
Katie's not into the choking.
No.
No, 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 no. I actually don't even really like. I like my neck being kissed, but I don't even really like people touching my neck.
I feel more girls like choking than not.
No, don't like it. No, and I don't know. I've gotten a good bit of feedback from women as well, saying that they don't like choking. They're wondering, is that choking an American thing?
No, really.
Yeah.
Love a choking. Yeah, a girl tried to choke me once, and I said, like, sorry, no, I just can't be doing
You're
that.
You're not anymore. Into being choked?
No, I actually, she kept doing it, and I actually threw her out of my house, actually, one night. No, because she wouldn't listen. I was like, listen, I'm just not into that, and then she did it again, and I was like, no, seriously, and then the third time, I was like, right, if you're just not, this isn't going to work, so she had to leave, unfortunately.
Really? So, well, in fairness, she didn't listen to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know I would have done the same thing, so... No, you have to bloody...
No, you got
to
know your boundaries there.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I don't mind doing the choke, but I'll wait to see if a woman's into it, or I'll...
Yeah, you don't... Sometimes it's just... A friend of mine taught me this was just like a good heavy lean on a chest is enough. You know, you don't need to be choking, but like a bit of just a sort of a pressure is enough for them to be like, all right, this sort of feels like dominance without being too scared or whatever. That's what someone told me.
Do you know what I don't like? And lads love doing this. Look, a good slap on the arse for sex. I find it very distracting. I'm like, you know, you're just...
But a lot of women ask for the slap.
I hate it. And you do, and you're
they
like,
ask
you're,
for the slap,
in the
they
mood.
Say slap my ass.
I'll never ask. Yeah, they all slap me.
I'll only ever slap a woman that asks to be slapped, but you get asked quite a bit.
You don't organically. Do you ever go organically? Have you ever gone organically for the slap and then she's like, "What was that?" And you're like, "Sorry."
When it comes to stuff like that, I don't really. I mean, I'll have the discussion in advance, or you know, I mean, I guess if you can see the desire for aggression, I guess I'll take the risk, but yeah. it would have to be pretty obvious to me.
I think all my
partners... I've never smacked somebody that was like, please don't do that.
No.
All my partners have done it, and I've never asked for it. I'm pretty sure a majority of them...
Have done it?
Yeah, majority, that are ones I can remember.
Slapping out arse in there, yeah. If I remember.
Really? I have a nice arse, like, so maybe... I don't know what it is.
I think that is a thing with guys, like, they sort of go, right, she wants me to slap her ass, right, but she doesn't want to, like, have to say it, you know, so they're kind of like, listen, I'll probably maybe I should try take, because you got to try take the lead, because you don't
okay. Would it be okay for me, let's say my next sexual partner, if he does it, for would it be okay for me to be like, because I don't want to embarrass them, what if you guys like, I just presume all guys
just
like
don't
it.
Just say sorry, I don't like that.
Yeah,
especially with things like slapping, it's very acceptable to be like, I'm not into that.
Yeah, there's something very like, I love, I don't know,
like, I don't like when a woman scratches my back too hard. But yeah. I don't say it straight away sometimes because I figure they might be into it. But sometimes I have to be like, yo,
easy on
my back. I usually, honestly, if it's like the first time, I won't say anything. But like, I you know, if we're continuing to have a sexual relationship, I will say, you know, I'm not totally wild about the back scratch.
Yeah, I don't need no permanent scars, please. Thank you very much.
And do you like the back scratching, Column?
A little bit, but again, if they draw blood, that's too much.
Yeah,
you know?
Because like, it's sore in the shower. It's actually sore in the shower. Then after,
yeah,
and we got I got a bit of.
And then someone else sees the scratches on your back, and you're like, no, I haven't been sleeping around.
I got a bit of feedback.
That's a cheating joke. There,
oh
Katie.
God! Well, I got a bit of feedback about a guy saying about girls scratching the back, and a lot of them will do it to draw blood. And then one time he was going to work. And well, they do it too hard because he's got these scary long nails, but the blood came through his shirt at work, his white shirt. So
yeah, I've heard
that. But that is common. I mean, you know, if you were making an argument about saying like, oh, it's not right that men smack an arse without asking, the opposite would be definitely a lot of women like scratching.
Yeah,
the back.
They do love a good
it's
scratch.
It's good to know because I scratch back as well. So now
a lot of back
but my
scratching.
My nails are short though.
But I don't mind. I don't mind a bit of it. But when it gets to the moving the skin, I.
Do you ever feel though, nearly sometimes almost a bit embarrassed to say like, listen, you're hurting me. You know, like you kind of go.
Well,
listen,
I always phrase it. I'm not into that.
Oh, is it? You don't go.
That's my safe word.
Aww. Listen, you gotta calm down there.
Yeah.
I know you're into it, and I really want you to enjoy this. Yeah. But
some people like, obviously, in my experience, for some women, it's like a thing. In that, even after you say it, sometimes they kind of aren't even aware that they're doing it. Like they'll start doing it again. They won't even really be paying attention.
Yeah. Like lip biting, I can't stand a lip bite.
Oh, someone bites your lip?
Yeah, I hate it. I don't like that either. I hate it. I've had to do it before as well, with people just kissing, going, no, please.
Yeah,
easy on the lip bite. I don't mind a little bit of it, but when they get into that hard thing, it's like, yo, what the fuck?
Touched my face.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes people just forget that you can feel what they're doing. They have no boundaries.
That's with hair pulling as well. I have long hair and guys love it and they'll fucking pull the head of hair off me and I'm like, I need it to stay on my head, if you don't mind. And
I imagine that happening a lot.
Oh, they love it.
Yeah, and that's another one where it's like...
And you find yourself just letting it sort of slide a little bit because you're like, listen, he's into it.
I've let a few slide where it didn't hurt, but there was a guy I was dating and he would rip the head off.
So this is like an Irish thing of sort of going, listen, the other person, they're kind of into it. I didn't want to ruin the buzz.
Whereas that's American, not an Irish thing.
No?
No, what? But he's saying like that we're kind of polite about it, whereas Americans
kind of like someone
like,
slapping your ass and you're going, listen, let him,
don't embarrass him, you know?
Let him have fun. It won't be long.
Yeah.
It won't be much longer now.
Yeah, and that's
I have a funny ass slapping story, actually.
Tell us. Go on.
Long time ago in Shannon. I was in a hotel in Shannon. Long time ago.
Shout out to Shannon.
And this girl, this woman I was with, told me she likes to be smacked on the ass and that she likes to be smacked pretty hard. So I was fucking whacking her ass as per request. And afterwards I was like, you're into that? And she's like, yeah, but not on the same spot every time. In other words, I kept whacking the one spot, so she kind of was like hoping I would sort of move the landing area around a little bit. But
yeah, I learned that by mistake. I was working with some girl, and she was giving out about a guy slapping her ass in the same spot. And then I was like, yeah, fuck it. Why would he do that? And then I was just, note to self.
Note to self.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, what a fucking dope, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why you need to have friends from the opposite sex. Just to,
although
like,
it may be difficult, try it. Recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the more conversations you have about it, the better it is.
Oh, absolutely.
But I have to say, that's one thing for sure that I'm not into. I am not into being dominated.
No,
in fact,
I
had this one girl that was clearly into being dominant, which is fine. I don't have a problem with her being into it. But she was trying to do it on me, and I was just like, I'm sorry, but I noticed, you know, gives you a lot of pleasure, and I'm really into pleasing you, but I this is one thing I am just not into. It does nothing for me, and it kind of makes me want to laugh. You know, you have to be honest.
Yeah, right? You go, I'm not going to laugh in your face if you keep trying to tell me what to do. But how dominant, there's a line, right? I don't want to get gagged and spit on, but
yeah, what was she doing?
You can aggressively ride me on top, and I'll be like, all right, go to town.
That's not even being dominant, though. That's dominant, just her turn.
If she's mushing your face or something.
Oh, you know, right. I do ride on top, but I'm not mushing face.
Yeah, but there's a difference between a dominant ride on top.
Yeah, mine's,
but they're like, they're trying to fucking smash you through the bed.
This wasn't about the violence. It was actually about the sort of the commands.
Oh yeah, she told. There was no please or thank yous.
It was just a certain vibe that she was into, and I just had to tell her. I was like, listen, you know, I'm really open sexually, but like, that is just off.
There was orders.
Well,
was
I
it?
Mean, yeah. At the end of the day, yeah, it's like, I'm not into it. What are you gonna do? Like, I can't.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, you're basically, you're turning me off. Like, it's one thing. It's like, I'll do anything if you're into it, but I can't do something that's actually turning me off.
No, 100%.
You know. But then she was cool with it. It wasn't like she was like, oh, well, fuck it. I need you to listen to my commands. I need you to be my slave. She was just like, all right, let's go neutral. I was like, wrong. Tables are turned, bitch. Get on your fucking knees. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Eat from the bowl. That's great. You actually kind of sold her on me now, that towards the end. You were like, not like she wanted me to be a slave. I was like, oh, actually, doesn't sound too bad. Bit of slavery. I'd be someone's a slave. But only in a sexual sense. You couldn't have that in a relationship. This is the... I have to find... No?
It's way more common, if you ask me.
The slave?
The non-sexual under the thumb. But anyway, I'm only kidding. So, but... So, in actual... So, you moved here. So, you obviously got in a relationship quite quickly then, did you?
No.
No.
No, I was here for, like, 2.5 years. Single.
You were Jessica a year and a half, is it?
How old are you?
28.
Oh, you guys are the same age.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've known each other, yeah, a long time now, I guess.
So
yeah.
Would you say growing up that you were quite open sexually, or, you know, like...
Me?
Did you have classic Catholic shame and all that?
Yes, I did have that instilled from my parents, but I was... I don't know. I think my brother exposed me to, like, porn early on, and I've always had, like, a weird open... dialogue or something, not a dialogue, but, you know, like, I've always talked about sex and enjoyed the conversation like that, but I've never felt this Catholic shame that everyone always talks about, you know.
Really?
Not with sex, no. Maybe just I wake up sad, but not something to do with sex. I don't have a sexual Catholic shame,
just a life one.
Yes, exactly.
Now in the more casual years that you spoke of.
Yes.
Your peak Tinder years, 2013.
Yes.
Were you having a lot of unprotected sex?
Yes. That is one thing, and I talk about it on stage sometimes, is about Irish women. In my experience, they will, 9 times out of 10, have unprotected sex, as in just no condom sex, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm sure most of them are on the pill or whatnot nowadays as well. But I just found, I think that's the Catholic thing that's passed down, because when condoms become legal, 1989 or something around that, maybe even...
Yeah, I think it was the early 90s.
See?
But I could be wrong.
So I feel like there's just something in the Irish psyche of, like, if you're with a girl and she's like, do you have a condom? And you say no. She goes, yeah, I did my job. So that's to do it anyway.
And I do remember, like, when I was growing up there, we were more worried about getting, like, a lot of girls be like, I got on the pill, we don't need to use condoms now. We never really thought about STDs. until I came over here, you know.
Don't STDs are, that's a foreign thing, right?
Yeah, but I do have to say that I thought that too over the years, going back and forth between Ireland and here. However, I feel that since the IUD came out, that unprotected sex has risen a bit in the United States. Or certainly, I've met a few women where it's just like, it's not 100% have to have a condom situation.
Yes.
Whereas I definitely found, maybe even 10 years ago, the comparison, you know, it would have been more like Irish women are more casual about condoms. American women are like way more into it. Plus there's like a familiarity thing in Ireland, which kind of can be a bit misleading in that people kind of think like, oh, we all know each other. Ireland's small. Mm. Sure, they don't have anything. Whereas America's so anonymous that the degrees of separation are so much that people feel like, oh, this guy could have anything. He could have been anywhere.
Yeah,
that's so true. That's such a good point. Because a lot of time you end up kind of drunk and sleeping with your friend.
I never came across anyone who had STDs in Ireland.
Well, sure,
what do you mean
know?
You never came across anyone who had STDs?
How would you know? You know, I'm sure there's lots of them rocking around not there like riddled and they don't know.
No, I think people who have admitted it to me growing up and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
even in those college. But even the friends and friends of friends, normally they would say something, but then over here, I never caught on until I got over here.
And they're very open. What did you catch over here?
Chlamydia.
Chlamydia. Chlamydia's like getting the flu.
Fucking gone.
One pill over.
You can pray that away.
Chlamydia? Oh, really?
No, wash your hands and you're good to go.
Chlamydia's nothing.
A bit of fairy liquid and you'll be good.
I don't know if you're comfortable talking about this, so if you're not, you can just tell us.
No, I don't care.
Tell us about being adopted. No, just kidding.
Well, Colm dated a friend of ours who's very vocal about the fact that she has herpes. And was that not scary for you? Or what did you kind of think about it? Or did you look up the statistics before? Or were you like...
Oh, yeah. No, that was scary because I never knew anything about it.
Because I didn't either, yeah.
But she told you.
Did she talk about it on stage?
She told me. She told me before I was dating, when we went on a date or something, she goes, just so you know, I have herpes. And I was like, yeah. Well, a friend of mine rang and told me before the date, actually. I had my scouts out. A guy might have rang me and he goes, yo, before this date, just I need you to know. He goes, I couldn't rest it on my conscience. He goes, she has herpes. I was like, no way.
But she's vocal about it anyway. So, do you know, everybody, like, she's a comedian who talks about it on stage and has jokes about it, so...
Yeah. But the thing is, with herpes,
but that's good because
the more you research herpes, the chances of catching it are sort of fluky low. Especially if the person who has it knows they have it and is taking medication to prevent the flare up and things like that. And then also, I've had cold sores over the years. So
you've got the Simplex One.
Yeah, I've got like a little bit of a build. I've already got something, so I kind of built up a better natural defense, I think.
That's what they say, but there's no. It's hard to say how much that does give you a bit of immunity.
Ooh,
but they do say that it gives you a small bit of immunity.
I didn't know.
90% of people have the herpes simplex 1.
I felt that it was very common in Ireland. No,
I've never
growing
had
up in kiddie
sores.
Discos or whatnot.
Yeah, but if you've never had a cold sore, it does not mean that you don't have a herpes simplex 1. Not that I'm saying that you have a Katie, but the larger amount of people in the world have the cold sore virus.
Oh yeah, and sure, exactly. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a thing at all.
And same with herpes. Once you get your first initial couple of flare outs, it starts to fade more and more. I remember getting lots of cold sores on like. Kid, now I haven't had one maybe in about 4 years. So I think they slowly, each time your body gets better and better at defending
it. And different people, like it actually varies between people in terms of how often things flare up, and also how intense the first flare up is. All those things, there's huge variations.
Plus, I think you can actually have you can have herpes and never have a flare up in your life, so you don't even know.
That's right. Your body apparently there's a ton of people have herpes and don't know.
What a life, huh?
Jesus, three of us could have it and we don't know.
Yeah, statistically likely one of us, huh?
I've been tested for it, but actually the test is very unreliable because it's really, the only way they can 100% test is when you have a symptom that you go and you get checked to see if that is actually herpes.
So even this girl, she's never been diagnosed with herpes. She went to a doctor and they said, listen, there's nothing there. And she goes, but there was something there a couple of days ago. He goes, well, it might have been herpes. So, but like, yeah, in hindsight now, I probably did dance a little bit too close to the devil with that one. You know what I mean?
But you know, you only pass it when you're, what's the word?
There's a word for breakout.
Quarantine. You can, no, a breakout is one thing, but there's also another time where you're like, the word isn't spraying, but there's a word like that, like a, it's not a breakout, but you're actually, it's a contagious period.
Okay.
But I can't remember the name of it. But
sick.
I had a few very detailed conversations with people who have herpes, and they gave me all the, because the thing is that herpes has a really bad rep in terms of people think that's the one that you can't get because it never goes away.
Mm.
But in actual fact, the amount that it affects your life is very small. But the biggest problem is the shame and the disclosure part. And because there's so much shame, according to my friend who has it, she said the problem is that because there's so much shame, people often will not disclose and hope that you don't get it rather than deal with the shame of telling you.
Like Usher. Usher was spreading herpes. Yeah, remember Usher?
Yeah, do you remember? Yeah, I didn't know he was spreading herpes.
Yeah, he got sued.
Oh, he got sued?
Because apparently he didn't tell people that he had herpes, even though he knew he had herpes, they got herpes.
So can we just say that he was sued, he was accused? No, what happened accused with the lawsuit?
I don't know. I just read the tabloid headlines and then moved on with my... I'm not CNN here, Des.
Just for the record,
just in case Usher's listening in.
The Shift podcast is not in any way, shape, or form suggesting that Usher willingly spread herpes. But we do know that he was sued based on that accusation.
My friend, she has herpes, and she said, you know, she will always disclose. But recently she disclosed it to some guy. And then they had, you know, she told him all the stuff, and then they had sex, and then afterwards he texted her multiple question things, like breakdown messages, being like, oh, I feel like I might have gotten it, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like so insensitive, and like, look, you had, you can't start texting her all this stuff. But yeah, like that would nearly make her not disclose in the future. Like she will, but like, Jesus.
Well, so he wasn't allowed to be freaked out in your mind?
Not to her, when she's already when she's already told him before they have sex and he's committed to the sex. You cannot then message her being like, what if I have it, when she already has it. That's kind of insulting.
Oh.
Go freak out to your friends. Go freak out to the girl.
Well,
you
know what? Maybe
she's
the only person he knows who has herpes. Yeah, so he's looking for advice.
He's probably, he's comfortable talking to her about it.
She brought it up. He didn't bring it up.
Did they have unprotected sex?
No.
All right.
Yeah, that's bad luck. The herpes, it seems to be, maybe these are just the girls I've talked to, but they always seem to say like, oh no, like it was like, it always seems to be like, oh, it's the one time I had sex with like a one night stand, or they got it from a guy going down on them.
Really?
You know, things like that.
I didn't know you can get it from a guy going down on you.
If he has it. It's so complicated because I don't know the genes. You seem to remember better, Des, but like, there's the two different types.
The thing that I can't remember you get the non-genital version of herpes on your genitals from oral sex, which I don't...
I think they can switch and swap all the time, and it's kind of...
Oh, no, going down is my favorite.
But don't worry about it, Katie. Thanks. It's not the most... Well, actually, I'm not going to give any statistics on on things. People need to be careful in general, and you need to Google various ways that STDs can be transmitted.
You can get one of those those lick-out condom things that the guy sort of, it's like a little napkin that will go over your go over your snatch, whatever the polite term is on this podcast.
Napkin on your
napkin.
Well, the funny thing is that
it's a little square Johnny.
Well, the funny
that
thing
goes
is
over
on a previous episode, somebody claimed that there wasn't a lot of nicknames for vagina, but
not
actually,
pleasant
I
ones.
I didn't get. Well, this is the thing, though. That's a moral judgment. I didn't want to get into it at the time, but in actual fact, there's loads of nicknames for vagina, but they're all considered to be quite negative and demeaning. Even though, but the thing is that they're just words, and then we decide that they're negative and demeaning. But
snatch, growler, box.
I also think she meant, though, like in this specific, that all of the slang terms are just for vagina. She meant like there's not a lot of, there's only clinical terms for like clit, flap,
clit,
and
love
hole.
Nugget.
So there is more love nugget.
Yeah, but also,
pleasure,
Katie,
pleasure
many,
button.
But how many, like for the
fun
head of,
button,
the head of your penis, what is
bell end?
Yeah, I know. But the point, like I, you know,
mushroom head, cockhead.
There's loads of
Willy dome.
Willy dome.
Penis.
I think penis is actually the scientific term.
Yeah, penis. Penis end. Called. Is it?
I love a penis end.
My little crown.
Yeah.
Oh.
So anyway, that's neither here nor there. We don't have
do
to.
Do you know what? When I was younger,
we discussed flaps.
Yeah, we discussed this in three now.
Flaps have come up now in a few episodes.
Labia, is it?
Labia
is the official term.
Wait, I've never heard that.
Dangly rashes.
Katie, the guys are talking.
I know. No. Oh, let me in.
What else have you heard about flaps?
No, for years when I was younger, people would be like, "Oh, I was gee-eyed last night," and I was always like, I never realized until I was older that just is because you've one eye closed and it's like a vagina, is it?
Vagina-eyed is what it means. It means you're so drunk that your eyes are like.
Oh, yeah. See,
I don't think you need to read into that too much. I think that's just one of those terms that evolves. I bet you there's as many meanings behind it as there are people that have said it.
It's just a fun saying, gee-eyed.
Yeah, gee-eyed. Yeah, yeah.
I was bollocksed. You know?
Yes, yeah. Hey, you
know, a lot of these words evolve. You know?
Yeah.
So there you go. How did we get onto that herpes thing?
I don't know.
Because we were talking
about STDs, and I knew he had a partner who has herpes. And so let's see what
she
else.
Had herpes, yeah. So there you go. But then again, like I said, you can get, if you're worried about a guy about to go down and you get one of those dental dams, is that what they're called?
I'm not going to do that. I'll be fine.
Just like a little latex napkin. You pop it over your lula, or whatever the kids are calling it these days, and he goes to town now.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great now, but like I said, if...
It's an option.
Maybe, no, if you're paranoid,
maybe one of your listeners can write in and let you know how it goes.
In the heat of the moment, I'll be like every other person who forgets about their paranoia.
Well, that's the whole thing. But that's why I think maybe you were being a touch harsh on that guy who... got a little sort of post-sex paranoia.
Well, I just felt like, I guess, the amount of messages he sent her, and I felt like it was slightly insensitive, because it's like, well, she's already given you, and now you're just being like, oh, this is such a terrible thing to get, and I'm so worried, and it's like, well, how could she comfort you when she's like, well, I have it, and you're just saying how horrible it is, you know? So that's where I'm saying, like, there needs to be, I don't know.
Well, you know, I guess basically my only point on that is that in the heat of passion... you make different decisions.
True, yeah. No, that is a good point.
And I think that post-sex remorse is a common enough occurrence I've had unprotected sex in the heat of the moment, and afterwards I've freaked out a little bit.
No, yeah. No, too, I have
yes.
done, too.
Yeah, we've all done
it. We've all done it.
Yeah, in the heat of the moment, the passion. Body's way of getting pregnant, huh?
I had sex where I didn't use condom. I used condom, what? And that thing got lost up in me.
He
wore it.
No, it came off. There's a lot of condom malfunctions. That's common enough.
Yeah. Especially in Ireland, huh?
So you can even try and protect yourself, and you're like, whoosh, there it's gone. So
life just happens.
Exactly.
So now how long have you been in a relationship?
Year and a half. Coming up on 2 years, I think.
Because myself and Katie are both single, you know?
Yeah, well, why don't you go on a date for the podcast and see how
it's not like that, bro.
Men and women can be friends. We're podcasting partners.
Joking.
And professionals. Yeah, the men and girls
you
who message me.
You can't date
like,
comedians, man.
The men
no,
girls,
but I was going to say, you. Sorry, go ahead, Kay.
The men and girls who message me and be like, oh, you get to do the podcast with Des. He's a riot.
Yeah.
Did you tell him that there's not two syllables in ride?
No.
Riot.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. Yeah,
let's just say. Well, no, because now you're a year and a half in a relationship. Mm-hmm. How are you keeping things fresh? Just a bit of advice for, because we haven't talked that much about relationship sex.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to keeping things fresh.
Well, just share a story. Like, have you guys ever sat down and been like, what else can we try?
Yeah, we've done that now.
Oh, you have?
I feel like that's healthy. We've done that recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, recently enough.
Is she comfortable enough with you sharing this kind of stuff?
Well, you know, we'll put it out there, you know, and then we'll find out afterwards. Listen, this is
she fucking does what she said. What is she told? Is that what you were going to say?
She knew what she got in. She got involved with the life of an entertainer.
Oh, right? Yeah. So
this stuff is out there, mm-hmm. And she loves me.
So anyway, you guys said like you had a little sit down.
Yeah. But previously, I don't think she would have been too open to it, you know. But now I reckon we're together now a while. We live together and things like that, you know. So we're not at it like rabbits anymore. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, so you got to talk to people and sort of go, what can we do? Because, you know, after that phase has passed, yeah. And then I think it might have been a little bit slower for her, maybe, without saying too mean, you know what I mean? But now she's at my thing where she's kind of like also going, she's like, this guy's just not doing it for me, you know? That's why she's looking at me now. That's why she's changed.
So are you saying that she came to a jaded position a little bit later than you, but now that she's come to it, you guys have sat down and said, okay, so how are we going to tackle this?
Yeah, yeah. And then we haven't done anything yet, but we're just like, say, like, just tame enough stuff. Like, hey, let's watch some porn together. That type okay. of stuff. It's just we don't have a wild, nothing wild goes on now between me and my lady. You know, it's all good and fun, but nothing you'd be embarrassed to share, really. You know,
yeah, I mean,
it's just your regular we're in a love relationship type of stuff. You know,
she's American.
Yes. Found myself a visa. love is the four-letter word. That's visa. But
the Irish love those jokes when you make those jokes in the States.
Yeah, I have one.
Well, you know, you got to stay. You know, Trump's on to build that wall. But yeah, so we're just talking about watching porn and things like that. So you know, and that's just now. So maybe in a couple of years, we'll bring in some friends or something. Or
what about sex toys?
We've done the cock ring,
which I find kind of pointless.
Yeah, but it's for her pleasure. So yeah, but yeah. Pointless. All right. But it's good when
the you vibrating thing.
Yeah, but it's not good when you come. The vibration thing.
I tried it once. I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, the thing is, as soon as you come, just pull it out your arse. It feels really good.
Oh,
there's you know.
Wait, it's on your cock?
No, it's on your cock. I'm joking. I was making a joke that was up your ass. But actually, yeah, it's on your cock. But it does feel good when you come. For me, anyway, the vibration while you're coming. But other than that, it's just so that it's a vibration on her clit. You get me?
Yeah.
Does Katie know?
No, I know. And now I'm going to seem like a liar that I said I never used a sex toy before, but I hadn't. But my ex had bought one of those, but it just didn't work, so we didn't use it.
It wasn't vibrating?
Yeah, it was like, no, it was just, it wouldn't sit on my clit, so we just kind of got rid of it.
It's kind of more of a sit-down thing. You can't be thrusting or pumping. You got to just be sort of...
Right, that's
make
good.
Make the things snap in there and just sort of let the machine do the work.
Ah, right.
Right, so never. So we just got.
Yeah, because I was with a girl. She brought one and we tried it, but it was just like whatever this thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't even consider it a sex toy.
I forgot to Google it. I forgot to Google it in advance. How to use a cock ring?
Yeah,
they're popular enough in Ireland, right? Or we just got one in one of the machines.
I remember using one when I was a teenager with my girlfriend. So, but I think they're kind of a cute thing to buy because you'll be in Boots or whatever, Dwayne Weed over here, and you can pick up your condoms and then right beside it just like lube and your little cock rings. But you're not gonna be buying like a big fucking Rabbit 5000 or whatever they use. You know what I mean? Not in Boots, you know.
Absolutely.
But they do have vibrators in these CVSs and stuff
over here.
Yeah.
But not at home.
No, I've never looked in Boots for the sex. I don't think they have a sex toy section, do they?
No, I don't think so. Irish like sex section is just like a couple of buckets of lube and some condoms. And yeah. I think that's it, you know.
Well, I got feedback from a girl saying you can get them in Dundeal.
Dundeal now, yeah. Vibrators.
And obviously there's
no deals.
Deals. Sorry. What's
Dundeal is a website.
Sorry, Deals.
Deals. Yeah, I saw that there's a cheap. There's a bullet. You can get a bullet and Deals.
Bullet sounds like a smoothie maker.
It's just a mini vibrator.
A little mini one.
Ooh.
Just in case you don't want to come too hard.
Because we have a collaboration with sexshopper.ie. Shauna, she's been one of our guests.
Oh, great.
We're going to have her on the regular.
Yeah.
You guys need to get some sex shop merch. The shift on the side of a
dildo. Oh, we're going to be doing all that, bro.
Nipple tassels, handcuffs.
Yeah.
The shift handcuffs.
I'll use them.
Bought handcuffs once. First time I went to New York, I bought handcuffs and brought them back with me. But they weren't like metal because obviously I couldn't get them through.
Fluffy ones.
Yeah, funny ones. Bit of crack.
When we get the Patreon going.
There's a fucking sex store. Where are we? We're on West Fort now. There's a sex store over there.
Sex just there.
It's a block and a half away.
Yeah, I bought some vibrating panties for a girl I was dating once and they never fucking worked.
Aww.
Then I went back in and went, these fucking didn't work. And they were like, well, you got to go to the manufacturer. And I was like, I'm fucking... It's the last time I went and bought something...
Fun,
yeah. No, lights off, eyes closed. From now on, the way God intended, no machines shall enter.
Before we finish up, have you got any other sex toys that you like to introduce into the relationship?
Me?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to. I'd like a rubber dildo, you know, like a floppy one, mm-hmm. so I can get a good hand around it, and you know, like a limp cucumber size type of one, you know.
And what do you do with that?
I don't know. I just like that. That would turn me on. Then you sort of put it in and out of your lovely lady.
You should get that for you, and since you two are trying to spice stuff up, and you should look at sex shop there.
At least that can't break because there's no batteries around. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
You got to think now. I've changed my sexual things. It's like just what's it? Yeah. Now look at that. That lasts you a couple of years, though. That one. Yeah. That's fine value in that one.
That is such an Irish thing.
Batteries? No. No, they won't give you a refund. Get something solid. Wood.
10 years later, you'd be like, still have it. Only cost me €10.
Decent. 5 girlfriends gone through this one. Still going strong.
You can shove a bit of turf up your arse. That's what we used to do back in Connemara.
Oh yeah, but it turf up the hole. Mm. Yeah, fair Jesus. Enough. Jesus, the old Connemara turf hole.
Do you know what I?
But that's what I'd like to.
Moon the hoon.
Is that yeah? That sounds like a B&B.
Moon the hoon. It's the arse turf.
but yeah, I bring that in. I don't feel like bringing in like a rabbit or something like that. There's something about. Solid object. That what's it called? Phallid?
Not about flaccid. And so you.
Oh, you mean something that's a bit flaccid?
I like a flaccid object to bring in, for some reason.
So you like
a little. There's something about a solid vibrating like rabbit that, you know, wouldn't get me going for some reason.
Wouldn't be your thing. Yeah,
something. You know what I mean? What would you reckon, Katie? Now?
Oh, here I'm very. My knowledge on sex toys are very low. Do you want to plug your?
Yeah, plug something.
Oh, yeah, great. Well, I've got my own podcast that I host with Sean Finnerty, fellow Irish comedian living in New York City. He was recently on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. We just talk about the trials and tribulations of being Irish in New York City. It's called Smack Me Bitch Up, named after the great Prodigy song Smack My Bitch Up with the late, great Keith Flint, who just recently passed away.
Rest in peace.
Yes. Yeah. So, sad name this week, but check it out. Smack Me Bitch Up across all social media platforms and podcasting hosting places.
What's your Instagram?
Yeah.
At Colm Tyrrell across all social media platforms.
Are you COLM or?
COLUM.
Yeah, you're the UM.
I'm
okay.
The UM, yeah.
That's good to know. Important for the people to know. Well, thank you so much. I mean, we sort of threw this at you on short notice, but we haven't had a lot of guys on the podcast, so.
Great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You know,
I was conscious to change up the energy. You know.
Yeah. Anytime I get to talk with some fellow Irish people in this crazy city, it's always fun. Yeah.
Hey, actually, just before we shut it down, since your podcast is about being Irish in New York, has anything around this topic ever come up between you and your partner?
As in sex and dating.
Yeah, just curious, you know, just being Irish in New York. Did any of this stuff pop up? Or is it more just...
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. It's normally just stories about what's going on in the news and the week and stuff. To be honest, we're like 45 episodes in, and so...
You've exhausted all the fish out of water stuff, have you?
Yeah, we've done a lot of that, and now it's more about what's going on in the news. You have a lot of stories for the first 20 episodes, then you're going... Did Trump say something?
Absolutely. We're going to encounter that.
Yeah, suddenly you're not going to be gone. The sex story of the week.
I've already used up like 25 of the women I fucked, but thank God I got like another 250 to go.
Legend.
I got to go fuck more.
You've been dragging the two guys out now for like fucking 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Katie finishes her sets being like, look, I'm running out of shit to say in a podcast. Who wants to go down on me with a napkin?
Available outside. At the bar.
Another brown fucking Dunkin' Donut napkins there. That's what it
is. Well done, team.
Thanks, Colm.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes. Thank you to Colm. Thanks to Katie. And thanks to you, the listener. We've got some wonderful feedback from you guys so far. Our next episode, actually, we share quite a bit of feedback about questions we put out on Instagram about sex toys. Sex toy stories, and then obviously some people after they listened to last week's episode shared some stories, so myself and Katie chat about that. The next episode, Katie also makes an amendment to her review, and
we talk a little bit further about that. We got some great episodes coming up, so stay tuned. We have a new email, contacttheshift@gmail.com. Contacttheshift@gmail.com. We figured some people might prefer a touch more anonymity. Maybe they don't want us knowing their Instagram. So send us any feedback, any questions, anything you want us to talk about. We are looking for stories about experiences anyone may have had with like gameplay. Guys or men or women playing games in the early part of a relationship, what those games were. Are you somebody that thinks it's a good idea to play games, play it cool at the start, not show too much interest? Basically, any sort of schemes and scams you have for relationships, the courting process, the wooing process before you guys are official, quote unquote, anything like that, please share with us. Contacttheshift@gmail.com, or of course you can Instagram me at Des Bishop, or Instagram Katie Boyle Comic, and we'll share that feedback. Other than that, please subscribe wherever you listen. 5 stars on iTunes. Give us plenty of reviews. It's been fun. We've been up in the top 10 a few times. We got as high as number 2. But, you know, as the podcast goes on, it's easy to slip away in the charts. So that's why the reviews, the stars, and subscribing helps that. Helps more people find out about the podcast. Please spread the word. Tell everybody you know that there's something fun going on here at The Shift. And I thank you so much. I'm in Limerick on Saturday. I'm in Killarney on Friday. Sold out. But I'm in Limerick on Saturday, not sold out. Some tickets left. And then I'm in Galway the following weekend. Check that out. Katie is in San Francisco at the moment doing a comedy festival. So if you're in San Francisco, go check that out. Anyway, guys, I better go. It's like quite late here. I'm very jet lagged. I just got back from New York and I'm starting to waffle. So thank you, guys. See you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.